Kyrgyzstan is home to high mountains, majestic fields, and the nomadic Kyrgyz people, for which the horse holds a central position. Kyrgyzstan is also one of the largest bases of support for the Islamic movement called the Tabligh Jamaat. This podcast will introduce the Tabligh Jamaat movement in Kyrgyzstan, looking at the successful spread of the movement and what implications this has had for the Kyrgyz society, with a particular focus on the women of Kyrgyzstan. The female perspective of the Tabligh Jamaat has earlier been overlooked. With this in mind, the intention of this podcast is to look at what roles the women play in the movement and how the Tabligh Jamaat in Kyrgyzstan has affected the situation for women in the country, but also how the women in Kyrgyzstan has affected the movements, the Tabligh Jamaat movement. Many countries that have banned the organization, like Russia, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and Turkmenistan, consider the movement as a security threat. According to some, painting out the organization as a threat and banning them can lead to the organization going into hiding and possibly lead to a radicalization of it. Whatever the reason might be, unlike its neighbors, the Kyrgyz state views the movement as moderate and has therefore continued to allow it. During the Soviet rule, religious activities had been reduced in Central Asia, and the downfall of the Soviet Union made the area a fertile ground for the spread of religious movements. It was in this context that the Tabligh Jamaat movement, that originated in India and Pakistan, spread into Central Asia during the 1990s. The intention of the movement was to revive what the organization viewed as traditional religious practices. Kyrgyzstan in particular was during the 1990s identified as an important place for the spread of the organization, and a possible explanation that has been put forward to this is that the people of Kyrgyzstan was less religious than people in other parts of Central Asia, offering a good ground for recruitment into the organization. Much research of the Tabligh Jamaat movement has been done by Emil Nasrindov, who himself is a member of the movement. He argues that the argument that people of Kyrgyzstan would be more open to influences of Islamic movements after the Soviet Union because of their previously relatively weak Islamic tradition is false and reproduces stereotypes. Instead, he puts forward that the spread of Islam in the country historically did not happen through traditional institutions such as madrasas or mosques, but rather through visiting Sufis, which led to the spread of a different kind of Islam in the area. According to Nasrindov, this could have paved the way for the Tabligh Jamaat movement, and the successful spread of the movement in Kyrgyzstan could also be because of the political freedom in the country that stands in contrast to many other states of Central Asia. The fall of the Soviet Union and the Tabligh Jamaat movement's efforts to, as they refer to it, reintroduce Islam to the region has been labeled a kind of Sunnization, as it focuses on the tradition of the Prophet. In the beginning, supporters of the organization came to Kyrgyzstan from Sri Lanka, India, and Pakistan and tried to spread the message to locals. The organization currently has members from all different parts of the society in Kyrgyzstan, and the Tabligh Jamaat is now one of the largest global Muslim movements with an extensive organization. It is based on six pillars: Shahada, the prayer; Salat, to pray correctly; Zikr, remembrance of God; Ilm, improving of religious knowledge; Ikram, respect towards Muslims; Niyat, sincere intention; and lastly, Dawat, missionary work or travel. The practice of Dawat is central to the Tabligh Jamaat movement, and it is believed that a follower should go on at least one of these once a week, 3 days a month, 4 consecutive days a year, and once in your life, you should go on a Dawat that stretches over 4 months. The movement has managed to establish a strong local connection in Kyrgyzstan, as opposed to many other places where the movement is still relying on Muslims from the South Asian diaspora. Although many adjustments have been made by the movement in order to fit into the society, such as translating religious works, critics have pointed out the introduction of traditional Islamic practices external to the Kyrgyz society. It is obvious that the women have a different position than the men in the Tabligh Jamaat movement. For women, it is harder to get involved into the movement, and especially in the part of the organization that involves the Dawat. And most women that get involved do so via their husbands. However, according to Nasrintov, both women and men of the movement are educated in Islam from their childhood and in their adult life. Generally speaking, the movement organizes meetings for women together with male relatives or their husbands. The position of women within the movement is a large contrast to the position of women both in the religious sphere and in the society of Kyrgyzstan. The society in Kyrgyzstan has been deeply influenced by the large involvement and independence of women in the Soviet system. Moreover, the Kyrgyz women were previously central to the religious life in Kyrgyzstan, as they performed religious rituals at home. These rituals were also important in preserving Islam in Kyrgyzstan during the rule of the Soviet Union, as rituals and Islam over time became closely intertwined. In the Tabligh Jamaat movement, some women attend religious classes with other women, others travel with their husbands, and the women are still central in teaching the basic concepts of Islam to their children. However, their role are radically different from what used to be the role of Kyrgyz women in the religious practices in Kyrgyzstan. The view of women as having a different position than men in the movement is supported by research done by Mukram Toktolova, who witnesses how the women partake in the movement when she followed along on a Dawat with members of the organization. The women of the movement are not supposed to talk to or even look at men, unless it's a close relative or their husband. She describes how the women are dressed in hijabs, a black cover over their faces, and long black dresses. This attire is traditionally not worn in Kyrgyzstan. The men also wear clothes that are traditionally not worn in Kyrgyzstan and have long beards. The clothing make the members of the Tabligh Jamaat movement very visible in the society, and according to Reitz, the newly introduced clothing and behavior by the movement has met hard criticism by people outside of the organization. This criticism is brought forward by Pelkum, who did an interview with the director of the Kyrgyz Committee of Religious Affairs, where the director said that the importance of the horse in the country led to the invention of the trousers, and that it is an alien idea to go dressed in robes like the Tabligh Jamaat is currently doing. On the other hand, Toktoglova puts forward that the attire worn by the movement in Kyrgyzstan, such as the hijab, has been claimed to be part of the traditional attire that was worn before Soviet influence. The lifestyle of the Tabligh Jamaat movement is seen as a way of restoring the tradition that was destroyed under the Soviet Union. The women of the Tabligh Jamaat in Kyrgyzstan follow the rules of the movement to a varying extent and often try to combine their modern lifestyle with the work in the modern secular sphere. In the 1990s, the Tabligh Jamaat movement targeted Central Asia as an area where the spread of the movement had large potential. Decades later, we can see that the movement has been banned in many parts of Central Asia, but spread successfully in Kyrgyzstan. Researchers disagree what the reason behind this might be, but the reality is that the organization is now present in most parts of the society. This has led to changes of the society, primarily in the fact that the clothes worn by both female and male members of the movement differs from what people used to wear in Kyrgyzstan. Moreover, the norms of the society have been affected to some extent, as the members of the movement have a radically different view of how women should behave and be treated by the men of the society. At the same time, the previous large freedom of the women in Kyrgyzstan has forced the movement to adapt to the society and revealed how the Tabligh Jamaat movement is willing to adapt in order to fit into the society. Future will tell if, and in that case how, both the movement and the society of Kyrgyzstan will continue to adapt to each other.